Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, to one more edition of Politics Done Right on Coffee Party Radio. Happy New Year. How are you guys doing today? I trust that you are all doing very well. It's been a racket. This is the first show, the first live show. Last week we had a rerun of a pretty darn good KPFT Coffee Party show that we had, or KPFT Politics Done Right show that was pretty good. Go listen to it if you get a chance. But anyhow, Happy New Year, and I hope the new year brought you in with high spirits, with high hopes, and with the expectation that we, notice I said we, not you, not I, but that we together will actually continue the trek of moving the country forward. And how are we going to do that? We are going to do that by really coming together, irrespective of our backgrounds, irrespective any fake differences that we have. We are going to finally come together and take the country back. Not the way that the folks that you know who talk about "don't tread on me," not like those folks. We're talking about all of us taking the country back from whom? You know from whom. This is Egberto, folks. This, we're talking about taking it back away from the plutocracy. For after all, we are the ones who built this country. We are the ones, the middle class, the poor, the past slaves, all those that have gotten the least out of this country are the ones who have built this country. And it is time that we get together as one, irrespective of the false differences portrayed or placed on us, to move this great country forward. So are you going to join me? Are you going to join the others? Are you going to join all of us that are trying to make a difference? Are you going to join the Coffee Party USAs of the world? Are you going to help us make a difference? Well, before I get started with what the topic is today, which is, shouldn't the current economic surge leave eggs on many faces? Of course it should. But before we get there, I want to tell you that a lot of great things are happening at Coffee Party USA. This revamp structure, this revamp group is now not sitting back on simply its laurels, but it is starting the process, getting things done. Getting things done. And we have a whole lot for you. I don't know if you've been to the blog page. Janine wrote a great blog. They have money, but we are many. Janine Loudon is going to be out there in Washington, D.C. with other Coffee Party members on the 21st, joined by groups like American Family Values, Center for Media and Democracy, Coffee Party USA, Communications Workers of America Courage Campaign, Daily Coast, Endangered Species Coalition, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Food and Water Watch, Franciscan Action Network, Free Speech for People, Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, Jobs with Justice, New Jersey for the overturning of Citizens United Coalition, PCCC, PDA, Sierra Club, Stampede, USPRIG, 350.org, and more. Add in to the flow every day. So folks, as you see, from across the country, from across this vast land, together to start the process of engaging people so that those who think they are in command, those who think that only they matter, realize that the vast majority of Americans are the ones, including them, of course, that really matter. Deneen said it is no accident that the Coffee Party was born January 26, just 5 days after Citizens United decision. Since 2010, we find dark money, personal and corporate funds laundered through nonprofits has become the leading source of money in politics. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is the biggest of them all, spending over $31 million in the midterm elections. And if you notice, some of the policies are followed by another group, Move to Amend, movetoamend.org. What it does, or what it specifies, is that no corporation, profit or nonprofit, should be considered or given personhood and have unlimited speech. When we say unlimited speech, because money is not speech, none of these corporations or otherwise, because as Janine mentioned, U.S. Chamber of Commerce, that is a nonprofit. Should that not be treated like any other created entity that's not a human being? Of course it should. Janine continues. And by the way, Janine is one of our most prolific activists, and as well as the treasurer of Coffee Party USA, and she is throwing herself on an airplane, and she's going to be out there in D.C., along with our president. They will be out there. They're doing what is necessary to move us forward. Can you just believe that I just forgot that I simply forgot the president of organization's name? That is so funny. Develin Molyneux, come on. Anyhow, continuing. We live in and Janine continues to say, we live in a time when a powerful few using money as speech and hiding behind corporations as people or influencing our elected and our judiciary to support a financial agenda in pursuit of unlimited wealth. Not for you, just a few. They leave a wake of social and economic justice that, without intent, cripples our nation as it tears her people apart and threatens our very existence with indifference to consequences of their actions. Janine, that was perfectly said. Standing up for the people, a job for which we cannot be laid off or fired. It is, however, a job we can quit. I will never quit. The fate of his republic's democracy is in my hands as it is in yours. If you have quit, tear up your resignation. If you have not quit, take heart. These are Janine's words. We see the truth hidden by the smoke and mirrors of mindless media and disguised by overly clever use of language of the law. We are the spark that continues to light the fire that will create liberty and justice for all. Whether you join us in our nation's capital, and she's talking about that event on January 21st, whether you join us in our nation's capital or shed light on dark money closer to home, thanks for you. You do. You start now by signing up at the petition. So go to coffeepartyusa.com. Coffeepartyusa.com. Join the petition. If you can make it to D.C., come on over. If you can't, do what you can overboard. But remember. Now, secondly, folks, we've restarted the Coffee Party book club. And Billy is running the book club. He has said that there are a whole lot of signups already, a whole lot of folks that are reading the book. You need to join. That is the book is what is it? Unstoppable: The Emerging Left-Right Alliance to Dismantle the Corporate State by Ralph Nader. again, very good book is what I understand. I haven't read it myself, but Billy Sears has engaged quite a bit of Coffee Party members and followers to read this book and join in a book club. I think let me make sure that I know when it is, when exactly. Don't forget to listen to the program. There will be a program on the 20th, which is the Coffee Party's anniversary, discussing the book club. So that is another thing to keep in mind. I hope you have been following our newsletter. We've revamped our newsletter where we try to make more contact with you all and ensure that you are well aware of all the actions that are taking place in the Coffee Party USA community. So if you're not, I know a lot of times with the amount of emails folks get, a lot of this stuff goes into junk mail. I can see from some of our reports that a lot of these are not being opened. We send out to several thousand, so I mean a whole bunch get opened, but there are a whole bunch more that needs to be opened because, again, as I mentioned before, this, you know, the president spoke about 2014 was a year of action for the president of the United States. 2014, specifically beginning in the latter part of 2014, was an action, a year of action for the Coffee Party USA as well. We did a whole lot. We had a whole lot of accomplishments, and we continue to move forward. We prepared a whole, we've revamped, like I said, our newsletters to keep you informed of what's going on, what radio shows are occurring, who we're bringing in, who we're thinking of bringing into the fold, who we're thinking of interviewing in later shows. We have some surprises that are lined up, distinguished guests that will be coming on in the near term. So keep abreast of those newsletters and make sure you remove it from the from your junk mail folder if that's where some of it is going and you're not getting a chance to look at it. But like I said before, go to that junk folder and put, we're up to number 5 since our revamp of these newsletters. So go into the junk mail, recover them, read them, make contact with us. And don't forget, it's around time now that for those of you who haven't been joining throughout the year, it is about time to join the Coffee Party USA again. We have many actions that we are going to be working on. There are many actions that we're going to be doing. We now have a newsroom. So before I go, or rather, the newsroom has also been revamped, and the latest newsletter introduced you to the current members of the newsroom. I want to make a plea, however, and the plea goes as follows. Send me an email if you are your own blogger. Send me an email if you have your own blog. I don't care if you're a liberal blogger, a progressive blogger, a moderate blogger. As long as you are a fact-based, substantive blogger, we are looking to add some bloggers to our newsroom where they can actually be like people in our newsroom, a part of a media, putting out information there that many folks have not been seeing themselves. So we're looking to expand the newsroom. We have a lot of folks that are finding information that many folks have not seen or hasn't gotten the coverage that it deserved, and they brought it into the poll, brought it in, used our Facebook page and other avenues to get the news out that many of the mainstream media have forgotten. But what we want as well is we want thinking Americans, Americans that regular Americans, not we don't want the media to be dictating to Americans how they are supposed to think. We want to know how Americans are thinking. And that can only be achieved if the media is not there telling you what to do, telling you what to think, telling you how to feel about XYZ politicians, or allowing themselves to be misused by politicians. That is only solved when independent Americans are the ones that are telling their stories. Independent American citizens are opening up their sphere to everyone else. So that we, you know what is interesting about that, is that suddenly when those types of spheres are open, we all then realize how much we share in common and how much we enjoy sharing the differences. You know, in my own life, that is one of the things that I love the most. I never try to change my culture, which is a Caribbean, Latin American culture. But I always try to bring many in. My wife is from a different culture. My relatives, we all have this nice salsa, if you will, together and enjoy it all. And it's just wonderful how all of that is put together. When you have real news, when you have people given real information, when you have people really given their stories, that is what we find. We live vicariously through others. We live through ourselves. We are able to see through someone else's eyes. And when you're able to see through someone else's eyes, you don't get a police force that cannot see the pains of communities it has little in common with. When all those things are exposed, those are problems that are immediately solved. But again, like I said, send an email to egberto@coffeepartyusa.com. 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 If you are a blogger and you have your own blog, we'll review it. We'll talk about if it's something that we think fits within what we're trying to do. We'll put you in touch with our volunteer coordinators, and we'll bring you on board to be a blogger as well. Like I said, we have several posters and a few bloggers. We want a whole lot of bloggers, is the reality, from all spectrums, from all sides. Okay, let me see if there's anything else I want to cover about Coffee Party moving forward. If there's anything that I am not covering and there's any one of our board of directors, volunteers, or group chairs in the fold that are listening at this point in time, don't forget to give me a call and say, Egberto, you forgot to say this. Egberto, you forgot to say that. I'm all waiting. And I just realized that I forgot to set up the chat room, but I just activated the chat room. So if there's anybody listening who wants to do some chatting as well, the chat room is now open. And please do remember, this is a call-in show, 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. So what are we going to be speaking about today? The economic surge is real, folks. Yesterday, we found out that unemployment fell to 5.6%. I don't know. Mitt Romney is talking about running again. You know, what's interesting is I think maybe the president has already fulfilled his wish, Mitt Romney's wish, because Mitt Romney, I think, had said after his first 4 years he would have cut on him. Seems like the president got to 5.6%. Now, I'm saying the president. You know what I mean. We mean policy that allows for growth. The interesting thing about it is there's much more that could have been done. This 5.6% unemployment could probably have been at 4% unemployment had we start the rebuilding of our infrastructure and much more. But continuing, we had the best year in over 15 years. None of this should be happening. There were many who said that the policies of the current administration would destroy the economy. The reality is that this president, in 2 years of policy under total democratic control of government that supported a more progressive policy, laid the foundation for that, for what is happening. Just think what can happen with complete cooperation all sides. Remember that. What could happen if all sides were cooperating? Of course, many are left with eggs on their faces, and they are attempting to retroactively or to retroactively take credit. It was quite interesting, a little that was done by John Stewart. You know, Stewart called out Mitch McConnell, and as much as this is funny, He is doing us all a favor when he called Mitch McConnell out. The traditional mainstream media allows obstructionists to get away with their bad deeds and then take credit for the fruits of those that cultivated success. By the way, I'm reading a blog that I wrote a couple of days ago. This was about John Stewart first played a montage of clips where Mitch McConnell was disparaging all of President Obama's policies. He shows McConnell blasting the stimulus as not working when the fact is that without a shadow of any doubt, the stimulus worked. He claimed that the bill to rein in Wall Street would stifle growth when Wall Street reform has proven more successful than expected. McConnell claimed Obamacare cost jobs. It turns out the opposite is true. Why is a comedian satirist important in our news coverage? Why? Why should we be listening to comedians? Why should we be listening to satirists? That's their comedians. Come on. Well, the reason why is it seems like over the last few years, comedians have had to take the mantra, and in as much as they make it funny, relay news. Sad, but true. So why do we listen to comedians? Because the news media is scared of providing news by challenging misinformation. How do we know that? Come on, tell me. How do you think we know that? You know how we know that, folks? We know that because they told us not implicitly, but implicitly. They told us so, not implicitly, but explicitly. NBC's Chuck Todd said as much in the following exchange to Meet the Press. And check it out. This is what happened. He said the following. Anyway, Louis Black had a backhanded stab at Chuck Todd and the traditional mainstream media news that caused Chuck Todd to tell an inconvenient truth. This is Louis Black speaking now. I have watched you and everybody else where somebody comes on, Louis Black said. I don't know how you do it because I would be barking at them. They sit there and go glib, glib, blah, 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 and you just sit there. Chuck Todd then interjected. This is why I told you he said it explicitly, folks. This is why I said the media told us explicitly that they won't give us news. Chuck Todd then interjected. We all sit there because we all know the first time we bark is the last time we do the show. Chuck Todd said, all of a sudden, one will come on, no one will come on your show. Interesting. In other words, we can't talk. We can't challenge fallacies. We can't challenge lies. W. Kamau Bell, another comedian on the show, came in with an interesting point. He said that many times the traditional mainstream media uses the comedian's satire to say what they dare not say. In effect, comedians get to bark. He points out an interesting exception. The weird thing is that Fox News also gets to bark, W. Kamau Bell said. And I think sometimes the left-leaning media is afraid of barking. When he said that, though, I wanted to go into the screen and hold his head and say, come on, Senor Bell. What liberal media are you talking about? Which liberal media? Which media have you seen promote they're supposed to just tell news anyway. But which media have you seen not actually seem to be a propaganda arm of right-wing extremists or a plutocracy? Which media are you looking at? One hopes that as the traditional news media continues to be challenged by good reporting, by satirist comedians, and folks that spend their time, most of them free of charge, like Gene Loudon, like Bobby Rodrigo, like yours truly and others, to try to get information across in whatever media they are able to, or whatever methods they're able to do so, to do what's right, maybe as they become, maybe with their sources of information, maybe later, our folk, our people, our fellow American citizens, will become less gullible to the sound bites and want to hear real information that will do them good. Real information. Again, real information. Isn't that what you're yearning for, folks? Telephone number 646-929-2495. Give me a call. A lot of open lines. 646-929-2495. Again, folks, give me a call. 646-929-2495. I have Janine on that I want to bring on because I used a whole lot of her blog in the beginning of the show. Janine Loudon, how are you doing, my dear friend?
I was muted, and I'm on speakerphone, so hang on a second. I'll change.
No problem at all. Janine Loudon, while she gets herself together, let me just tell you a little bit about one of our most prolific activists and, I mean, extremely hard Coffee Party USA worker, Coffee Party USA director, Coffee Party USA treasurer, Coffee Party. Should I continue, Janine?
No, you're okay. As you can give me a mic check, though. How am I doing?
You're sounding great as usual, Janine. Did you hear the beginning of the show at all?
Yeah, well, I've heard about the last 10 minutes, so I didn't get the first five.
Yeah, the first few minutes, I really, you know, I fell in love with that blog that you wrote. I think it's the top blog on the Coffee Party USA blog right now, talking about what you're going to be doing in Washington, D.C., and who imparts the patent, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, I mean, the wording of the blog was just right. I think it was inspiring, and I think it's something that, you know, I'm going to actually try to put it on one of the half-hour slots on the Coffee Party main page because, you know, we really have to get this thing going with what you're going to be doing on the 26th. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about it?
Well, I am so excited. I'm going to be in Washington, D.C., actually, from the 16th to the 23rd. But my focus there, other than being in town for Dr. King's celebration, is on the 21st, which is the fifth anniversary of the dreaded Citizens United decision. There's going to be a rally in front of the Chamber of Commerce. There's a couple things pretty exciting about this rally, not the least of which is there's probably 30 convening organizations, Coffee Party being one of them, Public Citizen, Sierra Club. I mean, if you go to the blog, you'll see that the list is getting bigger every day, and really reflects kind of how frustration about the effects of the Citizen United decision, the maturation, if you will, of dark money, the ability to use dark money and the effectiveness of dark money in terms of swaying political outcome has hit all of us, whether we're environmental groups or healthcare groups or good government groups or just plain money out of politics groups. We're all very frustrated, and it's very clear that we all need to be united about the common source we have. You know, the common source of frustration for all of us as citizens is that somehow corporations went from people in the sense of, hey, yeah, you can have a checking account even though you're not a person, which is what corporate personhood used to mean, to now corporations as super citizens with rights that exceed those of you and me, and that under the distinction money as speech, political spending as a freedom of speech, we're just trounced. We're just trounced. And the Citizens United effect was really obvious when the Chamber of Commerce itself, a single organization, spent, or as I like to say, laundered, $31 million of dark money in just the 2014 midterm elections. $231 million that we have no idea where it came from, except that it was laundered through the Chamber of Commerce. They're the country's leading dark money user, I guess is a good term.
Yes.
Anyway, so from 12 to 1, Lafayette Park, across the street from the Chamber of Commerce, we're going to be there. And we're going to make a noise because, frankly, our voices are being drowned out. And it's time that we be heard. And this is the beginning, not just a thing. It is the beginning of all of these organizations working together to clear the air about exactly what the Citizens United decision was, and then moving forward in many related and separate campaigns to have Citizens United reversed.
That is great. You know, Janine, I don't know if I'm going to be able to set it up, but I would love to get some, even if it's not a live feed, some up-to-date things so that we can sort of keep our fold, the people in our fold, updated with what's going on, maybe with a live blog or something like that. And not expecting you to do that, but while you're out there, we probably should set up some sort of a connection to get people informed and, you know, let them know what's going on, because you know one thing is the truth, and that is the mainstream media is not going to cover or give the coverage that requires or that entails. So, I mean, I think we have to do what we said we're going to do, things that you've spoken a whole lot about, be the media. All these items, we have to use this particular event to move it forward and make it so. We told our members, we told our prospective members that Coffee Party USA was going to be out there not only in body and soul, but in providing the types of news that they have not been getting or not getting appropriately. In other words, the New York Times, good newspaper, but the New York Times is not going to cover a whole lot of stuff or give the details of a lot of stuff. We can get sometimes when you write a blog or Charlotte writes a blog or myself write a blog, we actually tell a whole lot of not only how this affects the citizens of the citizens' bigger value, if you will, but Main Street America. So, folks, please get to our website. Is there a specific link at our website to let folks know to join into the event or what, Jenny?
Sure. I mean, we're trying to pass this around on social media and in Twitter and Tumblr and obviously on Facebook. But if you go to /2015/2015_citizens_united_rally. And we'll be promoting it again today, later today on our Join the Coffee Party Movement Facebook page. And I'm sharing it everywhere I can imagine. Just like, by the way, I'm also sharing the fact that Coffee Party is currently a part of a signature, a petition drive for a constitutional amendment to reverse Citizens United. And I'll be taking those signatures with me when I go to the rally. There are organizations all over America also pushing this petition right now. We think this is a good time, since the conversation is about Citizens United, it's a good time to remind people that there are things that they can do. And so you may not be able to come to Washington, D.C., but you can certainly sign our petition. And, you know, there's even events. There's one big event I know in San Francisco that's happening on that same day. And frankly, anybody who knows about an event that's happening on the Citizens United anniversary, if you post a comment on our page, meaning a comment to any other post on Join the Coffee Party Movement, or if you go to the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page and post a comment and share with us where your event is, we'll share the word. We'll spread the word, because I think it's important. You know, not everybody can go to D.C., not everybody can go to San Francisco, but maybe you can go to the courthouse downtown if there's something happening there. So we really, we're sort of exercising the muscle of letting people know where they can go and what they can do and what's up in their neighborhood. And so what that really requires is that you out there listening to Egberto's show today, let Coffee Party know what events you'd like us to promote for you. And we will do it. And with your help, we'll get better and better and better at it.
That is so true. Jenny, will you be sending out another blast to our membership a little bit later to kind of get them geared up to, because there are several events that we probably need to tell folks about. So will we be doing that in the near term?
Gosh, it sounds like a question I should answer yes to. We did send out a blast to people in the greater Washington, D.C. area with specifics about the rally. But I think that's a great idea that, you know, in a day or two, we could actually, everything that we know about, we can share about, and we can send it to our entire list, which is a lot of folks. And if you're out there listening, open your email from Coffee Party. We promise to never waste your time. We will never waste your time.
I mentioned to folks that to make sure to take us off the spam list. They're over in this political season, Janine, people were blasted with emails thousands of times from all the different politicians and all the groups that were begging for money and all the groups. Now,
yes.
We don't beg. We ask for help in getting the message out. We ask for help in moving our country forward. So we do it a little bit differently. So do go to CoffeePartyUSA.com and contribute. Do go to CoffeePartyUSA.com and join. But remember, we are a people-driven movement. So, let's get on board. And please remember, look out for our emails because we are not, as Janine said, going to be spamming you, if you will. We're going to be, one, telling you what we're doing, and two, and when we say what we're doing, we don't mean what the Coffee Party top is doing. We're talking about what we are doing, meaning you, not only us, but you, because you are one of us. It is all of us together. So anyhow, Janine, stay hot with me, but I think I think this is Jack. Jack may want to come in and say something real quick. Jack is a regular that we must give the microphone to. So, Jack, you are...
Okay. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello, can you hear me? Yeah. There's a coffee party. I would like to join it. I mean, I've been talking about it for a year.
Yes, sir.
Just contact me. I think you know my address or something like that. I won't give it over in public, let everybody know.
Well, but, I have your, I got your
okay,
number.
No, no.
What I'll do is I'll give your number to our treasurer, and our treasurer will give you a call for all that information that they need from you. Does that sound pretty good?
It's 6204.
No, don't say it on air, Jack. Jack,
yeah,
don't say
yeah,
it.
All
I
right.
Have it. I've got it. Don't worry, I got
okay,
it.
Okay, you got it. Yeah, you called me. Okay.
And for all
now, I just want to discuss the meeting.
Hold one second, Jack. For all those listening to Jack has just made a commitment to join Coffee Party USA as a paying member. I'd love to hear others do the same. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. You'll be
okay. I want to continue.
Yes, please, sir.
I tell you, I think the news media dominates. Okay, this is Paris. These two, it's 12 assassins. It's been going on for the last 3 days, and
yes.
Drowns out everything. Of course,
yes.
The Republicans are doing nothing about. Legislation. I don't know why the heck they got elected because the Democrats were too pussy.
Be nice,
yeah.
Jack. Be nice.
Okay, they were too wanted to accommodate, but I think they got nothing. They got very little to offer, and I want to discuss about the. It seems that are dangerous. It's bad trade agreements that started out with NAFTA, as you know that. Back
right.
About five, what was it, maybe 7 years ago?
No, it's much it's longer
with
than
NAFTA,
that. It's longer, but I didn't
bad trade agreements, which Obama is pushing along with the Republicans. And we're going to
have
trade agreement with South Korea.
Jack, can I stop you for a second and tell you, ask you a favor? Jack, I want to ask you a favor. You just mentioned something very important. The new trade agreement that you're talking about is the TPP, okay? The Trans-Pacific
TPP is partial West. Yeah.
Right.
And that's with South Korea and China and...
Right, the Pacific, yes.
and Indonesia and all of that.
Right.
I mean, as one thing has dominated a new cycle for days, now it's Paris, where the two brothers are finally killed.
Right.
They were killed about 12 out of Charlie, I guess, in Paris. They killed the editor, the editor-in-chief included, and about and some cops, and and also police. The police thing is dominated.
Right. Now, Jack,
police,
I think what you're saying.
Police unions are dominating,
Jack, let me stop you a second, Jack. My brother, let me stop you one quick second. Because I want to get a couple other calls in, but I read exactly what you're saying. I think if I understand you correct, the media is hyperventilating about issues that have very little to do with the average American citizen. And there's
That's correct.
Lot that has happened. Yes, and there's a lot that has happened this week, Jack. Nobody is talking about the new policy that the president is attempting to get college education for students free. Nobody's talking about some of the infrastructure pieces that he's discussed. Nobody's talking about what this real economic recovery means, even though in as much as we have great employment now, wages have fallen by 0.2%. Why? There are specific reasons why, and nobody's talking about it. Jack, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to go to somebody else, and then I'm going to come back to you when it's time to close out. So please have your closing statement ready, my dear friend, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Okay, 404, who do I have the honor of speaking with?
Hey, good afternoon. Bobby Rodrigo.
Senor
here.
Bobby Rodrigo, talk to me. Your voice is distinctive. What's going on, buddy?
A comment and then a question for you.
Yes.
Jack raised something I want to point that I continually point out about the TPP that I think is very important, especially in the world of partisan politics.
Yes, sir.
One of the things that surprises me about the discussion, when it is discussed from a Democrat or a Republican point of view, what Jack just described was that the president and the Republicans are advancing the TPP. I have issue with that statement in this regard. The only difference between the positions of the Democrats and the Republicans in Congress is that the Democrats, all they are saying is, now we're talking about the majority, we're not talking about everybody. We know that the Bernie Sanders doesn't like, we know there are things, people that don't like it, and there are Republicans that don't either.
Point.
But the point is that the only difference is the Democrats are saying we don't want it to be fast-tracked, and that's the only difference. They're not coming out and saying we don't want the trade agreement, and that has to be put out there. This is not a trade agreement that is being opposed by two different parties in Congress. Only the process of how it's being done is being opposed, nothing more. And that is very important in the battle.
Bobby, first of all, I think that is pretty – that is – and I'll be as frank with you as I can. I think that's very much known, okay? If you not only look at any TPP blog that I've written, or TPP blogs written by many supposed liberals, and TPP blogs written by conservatives as well. I can give you one, Bob Price, as an example. You'll find that – that is a well-known factor. In fact, you'll find in a whole lot of work that we do that you'd hear a lot of people continue to make the statements like how the parties are pretty darn close. What they really mean is that if you put them on a bell curve, the vast majority, irrespective of which side you're looking at, fall within the particular region of the bell curve where we would actually call you-know-what. Anyhow, that being said, right now we always – have to do things in stages. And right now, what has to be stopped is the fast track. And the reason we have to stop the fast track is that once fast track is stopped, we can work individually with politicians, left, right, indifferent or otherwise, on that basis. When the president gets fast tracked, He's omnipotent, and it's a yes or no vote. And the plutocracy will make a no vote seem like something that would be destructive to the economy, and a gullible population, not yet, I don't want to say learned because that is a bit presumptuous, but a gullible population that has been listening to very bad media to make up their mind is what, in my humble opinion, would then effect a passage because it's an up or down.
I don't disagree with that statement in general, but you know, the fast track part to me, in my humble opinion, is a false argument in this regard. I mean, the TPP discussion, literally, on paper, treaty wise, started in 2003. The only thing that hasn't happened is it hasn't been run through Congress. So yeah, fast tracking through Congress, I get it, and I don't want it, and what you describe is absolutely true. But this process is 11 years old. You know, it started with Bush in France, technically, if you want to look at the exact beginning of, well, here's, you know, words
no,
on
no,
paper
France
that we're going to start.
We're talking TPP.
No. I'm talking about where they were physically located when they had the discussion.
Oh,
I'm not talking about France being, that's all I'm saying is they happened to be in France at the time, regardless of that.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that when they started putting words on paper to negotiate and they got all these guys together in a room and all that other stuff, it's been going on since 2003. So, but I don't disagree with you that there are bloggers that, I mean, I do it. And you're right, the group that you mentioned and yourself. But I guess this is more of an attack, as you describe, on mainstream media, which, of course, creates the
right
narratives that I was describing to. So, okay, so my second question is on an earlier discussion you were having. I'm on record for years talking about how I know for a fact, just in the construction industry, for example, in the South where I live and work, and I'm in that business, that the stimulus package, without question, saved the construction industry in the Southeast, period. There's no question about it. All the schools that were built down here was all stimulus money and everything. No doubt about it.
Right.
And, of course, we know that there were a number of stimulus packages that were done that started with Bush and of course, continued with Obama and all the partisan rhetoric about it. But my question is this. I always hear about the policies, both from an obstruction standpoint and from an actual implementation standpoint. What I want to know is, in your opinion, and assume I don't know anything, we don't know each other. Tell me exactly the policies that you believe were the reason why we have employment as low as we do that Obama should take credit for besides the stimulus.
Look, it's a bit complex, right? In other words, the stimulus is first the catalyst. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And anyone who studies economics, the basic economics 101, knows that it's not about the amount of money, but it's about how fast that money is spinning around, going around within the economy. That's why a rich person does not create a whole lot of economic activity, because the marginal propensity of him consuming more is that much less as he makes more money comparatively or relative or proportionally speaking than someone who has a very little amount of money. There are other issues as well. The Affordable Care Act, many have bought into the fact that it's an employment killer. That's one of the biggest lies on the planet, and it needs to be exposed. If we actually go into the numbers as well, that alone has increased the amount of money spent on hospitals. It has increased the amount of free enterprise emergency rooms that are built. In as much as I really still would like all of that socialized because it's more efficient, we have created a whole lot of these jobs. And if you look at the employment report, that's where you're going to see the growth in the areas where the stimulus were effected, meaning green energy and the little bit of infrastructure that was in there and the constructions you talk about. In the Affordable Care Act, you will see the things like in the building of new hospitals, in the building of these other types of entities, in the creation of industries catered towards the Health Care Act, et cetera. And then we can go on to many other issues like the increasing of wages. When the Lilly Ledbetter Act was passed, nobody's going to see it explicitly, but immediately thereafter, women noticed that their average wages were somehow ticking up. And it brought back the thoughts with my wife. I remember when I met my wife, I met her at a company she worked at, and I saw the wage that they were paying her as secretary, and I went ballistic, and I simply looked and I said, I think you should talk to your boss. And she spoke to her boss. Her boss didn't give her any information about he's going to do anything better. But suddenly, her rates started to go up every 2 or 3 months. There was a bump, which means, what were they doing before? So, I mean, there are a whole lot of these intrinsics that we don't overtly see, that just the policy and the direction of that particular government move things. Now, it's no theory that if the lower classes are able to get more money, that an economy does better. That's not a theory. Trickle-down has been proven false over and over again. Democratic policy in the aggregate, and the numbers, put this out. The other day there was a paper, and I wrote a blog about that and put it on Coffee Party. There was a paper that was written that said, why is it that under these particular presidents, the economies do better? The paper did not want to come out and say that given the absoluteness of the data, in other words, the data, if you look at every president since the inception of the data, it shows that a particular type of policy gives a better economy. It says that it's in the data. But of course, universities must get their money from a lot of money from Congress, so they didn't quite make it as absolutist. They left a lot of it as saying, some of it may be luck, some of it may be policy, but most of it we probably simply don't know. Right. So I'm saying if you look at the policies of President Obama, it wasn't all the policies the way that I would have wanted it. It is definitely not the policy folks on the right want it, but it was a policy that took us out of a depression. Now, if the policy that most lefties like myself got effected, we wouldn't be just recovering. We'll probably be a bit inflationary right now, trying to get interest rates up to keep the activity from going too hot. And that's my
answer. It's interesting. I understand your answer. You know, the way I look at this from the standpoint of hopefully objectively, because that you and I both work for the same goal. We're trying to hopefully help solve problems or at least shine a light on what we see as problems so we can get somewhere.
Right.
You know, the stimulus package, in my view, was something, if there was a bipartisan thing, I think that the opposition to Obama's stimulus, as opposed to like we're talking about from the right for a second, and the non-opposition of it, the same people when Bush was doing it, to me, another false argument. And what I mean by that is, for example, I live in Georgia, as we know, and I work in Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, South Carolina, all with only Republican leaders or elected officials, especially in the Senate. And all of them, after voting against the stimulus, of course, took the stimulus money, which is where which is where these jobs came from. So they knew it was going to pass. And what I say about false argument, I'm in Senate, and I just feel like voting with my guys. And I'm not going to vote for it, but I know the money's going to be there when we're done. And we know how the politics to discuss this, like with Paul Ryan, when it came out that he took stimulus money after opposing it, of course, being the economic guy. We know what they're doing, and that's why I always find the way these are presented. The Affordable Care Act, the way you describe it as far as creating jobs, yes. My point is that we do not have job growth from a government standpoint, because we know that they've been shrinking that. We know that we have extensive job growth in the private sector, because that's just where it is, regardless of how we're getting there, for the standpoint of getting the down. I'm having a hard time.
Because that's not an accurate statement. The government has been shrinking only in absolute terms, not in relative, rather in relative terms, not in absolute terms. Okay. In other
words,
there
have been people that have been put out of work because of the nature of the approach.
What I'm saying, government outlays. There's no time that government outlays in physical dollars in the last few years have been less than the year before.
Oh, no, okay. I didn't mean it that way. No. I don't mean it that way. I mean it by the actual number of people working. We
okay,
know
but,
that.
You know,
that,
we, you know what? This is going to make a great discussion on another iteration of our show, Bobby, but we only have 4 minutes, and I think it is time for me to start asking everybody for their last word. So I'm going to ask you to hold a second. Let me get Janine to give me her last word, and then I'm going to go to Jack. So, Jack, please be prepared, and then I'm going to finish it out with you. Janine, if you're still here, can you give us some last words and encouragement to our base so that they'll show up for these activities that we're doing? Well, maybe we have lost Janine or Janine is on mute, one or the other. We'll get back to Janine to see if she comes back, but for now we'll go to Jack.
Yeah, well, it's been crazy. I was on hold for last year for you were on maybe a different station, but you missed me. But I was on hold for an hour.
No, I've never. I this is my first show for the year, Jack.
Last year.
Oh,
I
know what happened, Jack.
Crazy music.
I know what happened, Jack. Jack, I know what happened. Last week was a taped show, okay? So when you listen online, if
that.
You hit one, yes, that's what happened. I'm sorry. I probably should have made that more forward. That's fine. So anyway, go ahead, my friend. Give me
okay,
a quick 10 seconds.
What I want to do is the news media, because they do not get the whole facts. You're on one news cycle, maybe three days or 4 days. This is all about Paris and Charlie, the 12 assassinated, and the two brothers were finally captured in a kosher restaurant and killed. And
right.
And then anti-Semitism. I mean, some of these
okay,
things.
Okay, Jack, you got to give me
a little
bit of
anti-Semitism. That has to be explored too. And especially around the
right, right. Okay, Jack, I got to go to the
Israel Gaza. Yeah.
Thank you, Jack. Look, you keep on listening. Great to have you on board, and we'll talk next week, my brother. Bobby, give me a closer.
Just remember, everybody, when you are reading mainstream media or listening to mainstream media, don't let them tell you how to think. Look behind the curtain and figure it out for yourselves.
Thank you very much, Bobby. Words of wisdom, sir. Janine, are you back yet?
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Could you give us a closer, Janine, and little words of wisdom?
Right. Well, listen, I got to let you know that everybody that is concerned about what's going on in our governance today needs to look to the possibility that the Citizens United decision that politics being governed by money is a big barrier to you and me being heard, understood, or let alone having a government operated in our behalf. So wherever you can do, wherever you are, let's let the world know that the Citizens United decision needs to end.
Excellent final words. Thank you very much, Janine. Folks, please do remember that we have 3 coffee party shows, and I have to be quick here. We have I Take Liberty with My Coffee with Bobby Rodrigo at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays. On Thursdays, you have at 3 p.m. Eastern, Lunch with Loudon. And on Saturday, you have Politics Done Right here with me. Thank you very much for giving me this time. Thank you very much for being a part of Coffee Party USA. Please do remember to go to coffeepartyusa.com. Again, that is coffeepartyusa.com. Join us. Help us move forward. Help us help ourselves. Help us take the country back. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Coffee Party on.